That's right. Good afternoon. It's time for interview marathon right here on WCRS. Hopefully we'll have everybody in the queue here today. We'll be able to talk to everybody that we have on the list. You know, a group out of Asheville, North Carolina is coming up here in just a few minutes. The name of their group is Roots and Dore, I think is how I've heard it pronounced. And we will be talking with Ryan Roots. All right. They play American blues, soul, rock and roll, and a whole lot more. And as I said, they are from Asheville. Then we have John Lee Murphy and the Apparitions, and he actually has a couple of groups that he's had and played with, and so we're going to be talking to him. He's from down there in Savannah. He's up next. Then we have the ever crazy guy, Donald Cesar, will be with us, joining us, and you know, he's one of those that once you see him on the stage, you can't ever forget it because he has so much energy. You just wonder where he gets that from. Coming up after that, Adam Gusso of the Blues Doctors. We had him here a couple, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now. And so we're going to be talking with Adam. He is a harmonica player extraordinaire. In fact, he even puts lessons up on YouTube if you want to learn how to play the harmonica. So it's pretty cool. And we've got one more after that, I think, Deb Callahan. So Deb is from Philadelphia. I think she's originally from Massachusetts, I believe. And she has been singing and doing the blues for over 20 years. So we'll be talking with her and playing some of her music too. She's another good catch this year for the Blues Festival, Blues Cruise, and Festival of Discovery. Of course, we're going to have people from all over here to be part of this. It's just going to be so much fun. So much fun. So I hope you're going to be able to stay with us. I hope you're going to be able to listen to some of the music that we have, and we'll be able to have it all here with you, and hopefully we'll get our caller in here at the right times, and we'll be just doing what we do, talking and singing and having a good time. Looks like we already have one of our interviewees with us, and hopefully that is Ryan Roots, who was supposed to be up first. So let's hope that's the way it's working here today. It's kind of fun doing this, though, because you never know what's going to happen or how it's going to come together. But most of the time, it works out really, really, really well. So I guess we ought to see if he is here. Is Ryan here? Andy, it looks
like. Yes, I am, man.
You are. Okay, cool. How are you doing today, Ryan?
Doing well with yourself?
I'm very good, very good. Kind of scattered trying to get everybody scheduled, and we made that change, and I guess you got my message on Facebook. That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, I was reading over the little bit of bio that I have on you, and I'm very curious. How did you get into music to begin with?
You could almost say I was born playing music.
That's
my mom
scary.
Started me singing. Yeah, she had me started singing at like 3 years old, and I've been literally performing major shows and things ever since. So,
was she making money on you? That's my question.
I can honestly take a little pride in saying I brought home a little bit of money growing up, but not a whole lot. You know, it was mostly donating my time doing Veterans Day parades and other public events and stuff like that. March of Dimes Telethon at Resorts International Casino and those types of things in the 80s. That's what I started doing.
That's pretty good. That's awesome. So,
yeah.
What made you, so you didn't have a choice, or this is just what you were always called to do?
I would like to say I was called to it, and I did have a choice as a young kid. It was just, I loved the attention I got for singing, and, you know, I could see how happy music made people and how therapeutic it could be for the veterans I was singing in front of. And it's just a beautiful thing. So how could I not be inspired to be on a path lifelong of it?
Well, that's very true. Now, your partner, Kenny, what can you tell me about him?
Well, Kenny, and if you don't mind my saying so humbly, is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet and one of the best harmonica players I've ever been fortunate enough to play with. And he's been playing for a good 40 years. He's played with everybody from John Lee Hooker to Maria Muldaur, all kinds of people in between. And I'm just fortunate enough to be able to have him as a traveling partner. We tour from here to Europe and back and go to New Orleans every year. We've been making some pretty good music along the way too. So it's been a beautiful thing.
Now, are you originally from Asheville or did you just end up in Asheville?
I ended up in Asheville. I've been here for the past 10 years and I spent another 10 years prior to that in Virginia Beach area. And I was originally born in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
On the boardwalk. No wonder she had you out singing at an early age.
Yeah, exactly. It was lots of performance opportunities there. Taught me a lot.
I bet. And I understand what you're going to be opening for Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, he's got a great band called the Boxmasters. We were fortunate enough to open up for him last year. Had such a great time, and he enjoyed what we did so much, he had us on the bill again this year. So it's a nice, friendly relationship we're developing, and beautifully based on music.
Now, where will that concert be, Ryan?
That will be at the Salvage Station in Asheville, North Carolina, July 16th, which is a Tuesday.
Wow. Because I also saw something in the state newspaper that said they're going to be giving away. I got the impression that he was going to take the T-shirt right off of his body, and it was going to be won by somebody. So they'd have that body sweat.
That's very likely. I knew they're doing all kinds of giveaways on this tour.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I read that, and I was like, I didn't get to read the article, but I thought, oh my God. Well, that's pretty neat. Now, you like to go down to New Orleans. I listened to part of an interview where you were talking about being down there at Jazz Fest. I guess that's quite an experience, huh?
Oh, it's an amazing. This is our fourth year that we've gone down in a row, and we're getting to the point where almost like honorary New Orleanians, you know, we get to just spend a week there at a time, and we just get to network with all the cool people like Neville Brothers and Mem Shannon, who's one of my favorite blues players in the world. And we just get to hang out and soak up as much of the music as we can and bring it back here to the Carolina Mountains and share it with everybody. It's a beautiful learning experience. Plus, two of my favorite musicians of all time are lifelong New Orleanians. That's Dr. John and Louis Armstrong. I do some of their music and been always inspired and wanted to go there. So it's a beautiful thing to be a part of it. And we go the first week of Jazz Fest because it's kind of like a convention, you know. There's just so many musicians down there from all over the world. We're fortunate enough that they, you know, haven't driven us off yet and they keep inviting us back.
That is great. Now, how would you describe your music? This will be your first trip, I think, down here to Greenwood. So if you were going to describe your music, we're going to play a song, but how would you describe your music as far as if somebody doesn't know you? And I think a lot of people probably don't know you.
Well, what we call it, blues, soul, and rock and roll, or if some people call it mountain soul because of where we're from. But it's basically kind of like a little bit of Muddy Waters mixed with some Sam Cooke and some Johnny Cash for fun. You know, you're going to put it into those types of terms. And this is our second year that Gary's had us come down and do the festival. It's always a good time down in Greenwood.
Oh, okay. I guess I must have missed you that last year. I didn't remember.
We were there the year before last.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Okay. I was fortunate enough that they were somehow got a picture of me playing and made me a cover of their flyer for last year, which was pretty cool. I believe it was last year.
Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah. I know a lot of people will be looking forward to you coming back. On these trips to Europe, where do you go when you go to Europe, and how do you get to do them?
Usually we handle everything by ourselves. Like, I do the majority of the bookings, and my buddy Kenny has got some cool connections over there. And we are planning on going back there this coming year. Last time we went and spent 3 weeks in Switzerland and Italy, playing all up and down around there. We did 11 shows in 22 days, see some stuff, play some stuff is what we call it. So that's another benefit of playing with such a cool travel companion, is that we travel around doing our thing and just really enjoy it. And Europe is definitely a cool place because they love the blues over there for sure.
Now, what's the difference between American audiences and European audiences?
Wow, that's a good question. I'd have to say the main difference is there seems to be an awesome outside-looking-in kind of thing they have about the American-style blues that we play, because I guess they've just been such an attentive audience of the blues since they started bringing the first cats over there, you know, with Muddy playing with the Stones and Howlin' Wolf and stuff like that, bring them over, Sister Rosetta Tharpe. They all went over there, and, you know, ever since then, they've just kind of had a really nice love for American blues, and they tend to really know their stuff. You know, where in America, they don't have not all American audiences, but a lot of them, they seem to know, you know, a little bit about the blues, unless we're specifically playing a blues concert, you know, like a festival or something. Then you get a lot of knowledgeable blues lovers, but the average bar or venue that we'll play at, you know, they'll holler out, hey, play some Muddy Waters, and that's pretty much all they know sometimes. So a lot of time what we try to do if we're doing any cover songs is play more of the B-sides of things you might not have heard. Like if you ask for Muddy Waters tune, I'm going to do Can't Be Satisfied, not Mannish Boy, you know. I want to make, there's tons of people out there doing other covers, so I try to make sure I do a little something that, if I can say so, I kind of feel like a little bit of an educator, so I make sure that I play something that they probably hadn't heard before.
I like that, you know, and I think it's very true. We have, here in America, we have so many things we just depend on that little scope of knowledge and don't expand the knowledge, and that's great. I actually do a show on Saturday morning. It's called From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road, and we do blues and classic country. And so it's a cool show. Yeah. So that's awesome.
That's pretty much what I listen to on my own time. I spend a lot of time listening to all the Highwaymen and on the other, I can call them my bluesy Highwaymen too, you know, like, and a lot of the country that I listen to, especially the, you know, Hank Sr., they all learn from blues guys, you know?
Well, as Willie Dixon says, the blues is the roots, the rest is
everything,
the fruits.
Else is the fruits.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. So this is pretty neat. Now, we had picked out a song. In fact, we've played it a couple of times already this week. Well, last week we played it. What was that song? The Stones of Passage, Passage of Stones?
Oh, yeah, that's the only cover on our album. It's called Stones in My Passway, which is a Robert Johnson tune, which is a perfect example of what I was saying as far as covers. You know, a lot of people are like, hey, you know, dude, come on in my kitchen or something like that. And
right.
I'll play Stones in My Passway, because that's not one that a lot of people know. And I think it's important that people really get as much of Robert as they can. So that's my favorite Robert Johnson tune. So I put it on the album, and it was a really well received right off the bat, because that's, you know, it's one of those no pressure moments, right? You know,
right.
Covering your hero.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been down there to Robert Johnson's grave and down in that area in Mississippi?
Not physically, but astrally, I'd like to say. I feel like I've had a long time connection with it. We almost share a birthday. Our birthdays are like a day or two apart. So I do feel like kindred spirits in some way. But I do definitely want to make my way down to Hazelhurst. Well, I'm friends with Steven Johnson, his grandson. He's been we've been kind of digital pay pals for the past. I said pay pals. I mean pen pals. The money on
pay
the brain.
Pay pals is good.
I guess. Got to pay these bills, right? I think about 11, 12 years ago, I started talking to his grandson and just we had so many cool conversations back and forth about the blues and about spirituality and, you know, the whole going down the crossroads, selling your soul for the devil and stuff like that. Steven Johnson's a deacon at his local church, and he told me, he says, look, that song where he says, you know, the crossroad blues, when I fell down on my knees, said, save war, Bob, if you please. I always play, when I play that song, I say, if you come from the tradition I come from, they say all you have to do is ask for forgiveness. So by that rationale, you know, Robert isn't in hell and any of that stuff. I don't really think you can sell what you don't own for a spiritual cats out there, you know. So yeah, I feel like it's already been bought and paid for.
Yeah, I want to play that. So what I was going to tell you, if you ever do get down there, you need to go by and see our friend down there, Poe, at WABG, because he does a whole lot of blues, and it's a AM station that is situated right in the middle of a cotton field right down there in Greenwood, Mississippi.
Wow, I'll definitely check it out. I'm writing it down right now.
Yeah.
Poe as P-O or P-O-E?
P-O-E, Poe. And his name is Joe Poe, but he goes by Poe. And if you look him up on Facebook, he's got the WABG Awesome Fan Club that does a lot of cool stuff and promoting the blues and everything. So you might ought to check him out. That would be cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, this has been a treat to talk to you. Where are you playing? I haven't even looked it up. Where are you playing when you come to town? Do you know?
I'm actually not exactly sure. I didn't have that readily available, unfortunately. But I do know we're going to be playing three different performance slots over the 12th and the 13th.
Okay. So you'll be coming down here for Friday. Let's see, Friday, right? You'll be here Friday and Saturday?
Yes.
That's right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just trying to see if I could find it real quick. I thought you were playing at, yes, and I am correct. You are playing at Fat Daddy's Barbecue on Saturday from 8 to 11. You'll be having some good barbecue right there.
Awesome. And barbecue and blues, can't lose.
Can't lose. Oh, and also on Saturday from 11 to 2, they got you working now. Southern Soul on Main, right there at the cafeteria-type building. That's a cool place right there. Southern Soul on
awesome.
Main. They cook all kinds of good Southern cooking right there. And I'm trying to see if I see you anywhere else. You probably are, but I was looking over the schedule. Friday. Do I see you on Friday? Do I see you on Saturday? I guess I must have missed you, but you're there somewhere. And we
actually,
will...
I apologize. I see that we're actually playing in Asheville on the 12th. We're there the 13th and the 14th.
Oh, I know where you're
looking
playing.
At my schedule now.
You've got a cool gig on Sunday at the Inn on the Square from, it looks like, 11 to 2 on Sunday, the 14th.
Ah, yeah, that's it.
That's it. And that's at the Inn on the Square. You'll be eating good in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful venue. It's an old restored hotel there, and you'll be right there in the lobby playing to some cool music. You'll love it.
That sounds great. We're really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a blast talking to you, but I got to come to an end here. Andy, could you play what was the name of that song again for me, please? What's the song we're going to play? Stones in My Pathway.
Well.
Play the song. And we'll look forward to seeing you when you get down here Saturday afternoon. You got two gigs and then one on Sunday. Everybody should come out and see you. And when you can't see you here, you're all over Asheville, aren't you?
Yeah. I do about 200 dates a year, and a lot of them are mostly in the Carolinas.
All right. It's been really, really nice talking to you. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Ann. I appreciate you, and I appreciate Gary for putting everything together. We'll see you.
All right. Sounds great. Andy, go ahead and play that up. We'll skip the news, I guess. Carry it away.
have stones in my pathway. My road seemed dark as night. Well, I got stones in my pathway. My road seemed dark as night. Said I got a pain in my heart, yeah. It's been taking my appetite. Well, I got a bird to whistle, and I have a bird to sing. Well, I got a bird to whistle, and I have a bird to sing. I said I got a woman that I'm loving, y'all, uh-huh. But she don't mean a thing. I said my enemies have betrayed me. Yeah, taking poor Ruth to last. I said my enemies have betrayed me, y'all. Yeah, been taking Ryan Ruth to last. I said there won't be that I know, yeah, uh-huh. They got stones all in my past. Look out now. I said you tried to take my life, and on my loving too. You put the pathway on me. Now what you trying to do? I'm saying please, yeah, please let us be friends. I said, and you hear me hollering about my rider, girl. Yeah, please, girl, let me in. Truck on. Yeah, mama, please don't block my road. Said I got three legs to truck on, girl. Yeah, mama, please don't block my road. I said there won't be that I know, yeah. Uh-huh. Roots and Kenny, we both go. Well, I got stones in my past. My road seemed dark at night. Well, I got stones in my pathway, y'all. My road seemed dark at night. I said I got a pain in my heart, yeah. It's been taking my appetite.
Antique Vintager has arrived at 637 Durst Avenue East in Greenwood, South Carolina. How can you reach such a wizard? Just by calling 864-229-6613. Make your appointment today at The Antique Vintager. And don't forget to check out his new website, The Antique Vintager Emporium. Simply amazing! Oh, that's right. I know why I had trouble with that song. Because I thought he was saying stones in my pants. I was glad to hear it was in a passageway. There you go. All right, we've got our next guest with us right here on WCRS. It is John Lee Murphy from down there in that Savannah area. How you doing today, John Lee?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to get you on the air with us. What have you been doing today?
Well, I've been cutting grass.
Isn't that amazing? All the things you have to do just to live, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, I read something from, let's see, this was back 2012. It was in the college issue, the Connect playlist. It says, all you need to know, and again, this is back from 2012, is that Jonathan Murphy is a monster guitarist. That's a pretty pretty big compliment.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've come into my own here recently, and finally feel like I've developed a style, and most of it's very blues based.
That is terrific. Now, how did you end up getting involved in music?
Well, my dad played in bands growing up, so it's always been around the house. And from the time I got a guitar when I was 8 years old, but from the time I can remember, I was singing along with Little Richard, Marvin Gaye, and Beatles, et cetera. So it's pretty much been a lifelong thing for me.
Do they have lots of videos of you when you were a child singing?
There aren't many. There aren't many.
There aren't many? Darn. I like to see you rocking some Marvin Gaye or something like that, you know, as a small child. That should be cool.
Yeah, I'm interested to know what it sounds like.
I'm sure. Now, I think one of the things that I was reading that was a little confusing is that you have fronted two separate bands for years, and now I guess you've just down to the one band. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, I play in two three-piece bands, but the rhythm section changes due to, you know, whoever big. And we play, you know, when we record, we do different arrangements, different songs, but live, we kind of stick to the same set list. So it's really a matter of, you know, who can show up and play the gig.
Okay, because let's see, you had the Hextones and then the Apparitions. Now, what was the? I got to ask you, the Hextones. Okay, I'm okay with that one. But what was the coming up with the name the Apparitions? Was this some ghostly thing or something?
Well, Savannah is known for being haunted. I've never seen a ghost, but but Savannah area is supposedly. It's a very haunted city, so it goes along with that. And in the changing personnel, it kind of suits the name. So.
Okay.
But so, you can see the reflection.
You what now? I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
Well, I was saying you can see the rhythm section. They aren't ghosts.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Now, I understand a big part of performing for you is being with the audience. You want to be out there and, shall we say, press the flesh, talk to the people, shake their hands, and you like being that interaction part as opposed to just standing up on the stage and playing music.
Yeah, I feel like the most important thing is expressing your emotion and being able to connect with the audience and, you know, come together in that way, get away from, you know, the pains of everyday life and come to a mutual, you know, peace together.
Sure. Well, what futuristically, I mean, are you, do you travel a lot? Do you stay a lot in Savannah? What's the future hold for John Lee Murphy and the Apparitions?
I hope to get out of town more often. I'm a father of two children, so I stay really busy. So a lot of our gigs are here in Savannah, but, you know, I'm hoping to meet with the right people at some point and be able to get out of town and promote the music elsewhere.
Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, I just didn't know whether you traveled a lot or not. Most of what I saw was right around there in Savannah. So, but that's a great area to live. I actually lived in Savannah for a couple of years, and we lived in the downtown area right next to the cemetery. So I know about apparitions. Yeah. So that was a lovely place. So that's pretty cool. I know it's changed a lot since we lived there. But you actually are from Savannah, or the Savannah area, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. Now, when you talk about your music, what is it that you would describe your band as, or you and your band as?
I would say everything has an R&B influence. We delve into more of a rock sort of sound here and there, but as I get older, I realize that I think my strong point is the blues. So I'm kind of getting more into straight-ahead blues as opposed to, you know, singer-songwriter or...
That's great.
You know, other things.
Yeah. Well, we I wanted to discuss where you're playing. It looks to me, unless I've missed it, you are performing Friday at Fat Daddy's Barbecue. Is that right? From 8 to 11. You're going to love it. That is a great venue, and they got good barbecue on top of that. Not that there's not plenty of barbecue this coming weekend.
Well, we look forward to it. Yeah, that's the first one.
Yeah, and then let's see, where else did I see? You're playing, are you playing somewhere else too? Am I right, wrong? What did I think here? Sunday.
Saturday during the day will be on the main stage, the fifth stage, I believe.
Okay. Do you know what time you're doing that?
I want to say that's like 1 o'clock. I could be wrong, but it's really early.
Yeah. It's really early. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Saturday
1:30 to 2:45 on the main stage. You know, the beautiful thing about the main stage is that you have to go and you change up and different groups come up. But for the audience, it's terrific because you can just sit there and listen to music hour after hour. It's really an awesome opportunity to see a lot of blues people. And like I said, there's all over. Have you been to Greenwood before?
I have not.
Okay. Well, it's a beautiful venue. There's lots of open walking and talking and eating good barbecue and ducking into all the different restaurants that'll be hosting the blues music. You'll have a great time. And I thought as we close this out, we would play your song Drift. What can you tell us about that one?
That one was on my latest release, and I wrote it at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning one night, and I was just feeling like I wanted to write a song that kind of encompassed a lot of things. Like I was in a really deep mood, and I think it came out.
Well, that's a good song. I like it. I like it. So I thought we would play that. John Lee Murphy, thanks so much for calling in this afternoon, and we'll look forward to seeing you all around Greenwood in just a few days. So thanks for calling us.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you.
All right. You have a good one. This is John Lee and the Apparitions, and the song is Drift. Coming up in just a minute is the most craziest guy you know, Don Donald Cesar, will be on with us on WCRS.
We all know that predicting summer storms is tricky at best. At Frank's Car Wash and Rapid Lube, we've tilted the odds in favor of our customers. If your vehicle is dirty and the sky is blue, but the forecast calls for a chance of storms, come on in to Frank's and let our courteous professional staff wash your vehicle anyway. You'll leave happy in a clean car, and if a storm does pop up, you can come back the next business day with your paid receipt and have your vehicle washed again for free. We're Frank's Car Wash and Rapid Lube, located at 432 Calhoun Avenue in Greenwood.
Oh, that's right. That was Drift. That was a really beautiful song by John Lee Murphy. He is here with John Lee Murphy and the Apparitions right here on WCRS. And right now on the phone, I do believe I have Donald Cesar, commonly known as Cesar. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, you are one crazy guy, aren't you?
I've been told that.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, the picture that's on your Facebook page of you jumping up on the stage with your feet touching your hands. Now, how many years ago was that?
That was just last week. I do that every week.
You do that every week. Okay, well, we're going to have to be watching for that now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you have, you started singing, you're another one that started at an early age singing, weren't you, like 6 years old or something?
Yep, five. Yep, started playing since I was 5 years old.
5 years old. And was your family into music?
Yes, my grandfather, the family band, which was, his name was Alphonse Forsec Arguin, who is the founding father and pioneer of Cajun Zydeco music.
Well, you know, that is so much good music out of Louisiana. So you were born in the bayou of Louisiana, and I guess you were just born with the rhythm, right?
Yes, I was blessed to be born with that. I had, as they say, to have a little bit of that gumbo.
A little bit of that gumbo. Yeah, it says that I guess you kind of channel a little James Brown when you're out there on the stage. Is that right?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. I was thinking about doing a lot of the festivals and, you know, concerts and stuff that we play with a lot of various artists. And, of course, you know, James Brown was one of the ones, and it was like, yeah, that's me right there. I love doing that, and what great of an honor to, you know, to try to do him, and it's fun.
Yeah, it is. It says right here, let's see, this was Soul Finger featuring Cesar, and it says, whether it's Motown soul, classic rock, or the gut-busting, belly-rubbing blues, Cesar is truly the emperor of entertainment. That's pretty awesome.
That's that gumbo thing I was telling you about.
Yeah.
A little something for everybody.
I think Solomon Burke might take, might take issue with that. I think he considered himself an emperor. And then, of course, there was James Brown, who thought he was the one. So I guess since
well,
both of those are gone, you're
godfather.
Left to carry
yes.
it on, right?
Right. That's what they said. They said, you're left to do it, so run with it. So I'm running.
That's right. Now, let's see, don't you also do some teaching? Did I read something about that?
Yes. It's all about the preservation of the music, of the blues, R&B, and Zydeco, and Carolina Beach music. We go to various schools, and we teach them about the history of the music, especially in the Carolinas, because there are so many great musical icons who come out of the Carolinas.
That's true. That's very, very true. That is pretty awesome. And I understand you also drive a Zydeco train?
Yep, is it choo-choo?
Well, I do a train ride, and we get hooked up with all these different stations across the United States and over in Europe, and they play my show, and it's all based on a train ride. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was it. You know, that's what the Zydeco train is about, because it's all about high energy, you know, pep, positive energy, and just the more steam you build up, the more you can roll.
Now, Caesar, I guess you're not for the ones that want to sit down and just be kind of chilling. Is that what you're telling us?
Exactly. You know, it's what it's, you know, you can stay home and listen to the radio or the CD, but if you're going to pay your money or spend the effort to go out and see entertainment, then you should be entertained, but most of all, you should experience the entertainment, not just go there and sit there and look at, no, become a part of it. And that's what my show is about, is when you come to see Caesar, trust me, you're going to take Caesar home with you.
Well, then, I guess that's an open invitation, right?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't think about it that way, but, you know, it works. You remember it. You will remember.
You will remember. Now, I am just looking on the schedule here. Where are you playing? Do you know?
Yeah, Thursday night, I'm going to be at Fat Daddy's Barbecue.
Oh, that's a cool place. You'll like it. Yep.
Yes. Played there before, right? And then Friday, we're going to be at Buffalo's.
Okay, good. That's a good place, too. You know, you've been here to Greenwood several times. So what is your impression of the Blues Festival and the Barbecue Festival of Discovery? What's your opinion of what goes on here?
I think it's awesome. I think we need more of it. And I've always said, if we could take this and just be like a little franchise and put one here, put one there, put one here, put one there, everybody would be baptized in the Blues and Barbecue.
You're right. It's a great experience, and people will be coming from all over. Now, where do you actually live, Caesar?
I live in Orangeburg.
Orangeburg.
In the country.
Right?
Yep.
So you're pretty easy.
That's in between Charleston and Columbia.
That's what I was going to say. It's pretty easy for you to get to any part of the state without too much trouble.
Yep. That it is.
All right. Well, you sent me a song. Now, is it okay if I play this on the radio? I haven't previewed
yes. it. Yes, it is. It's a Zydeco train. It's about that train ride. I take you from, starts out from like down in the Mississippi Delta, on up to the Carolinas, and we end up in New Orleans.
Well, that sounds cool. Caesar, I have so enjoyed. The last time we talked, you were a horse or something, and we could hardly talk. So it's been a real pleasure having you on the radio with us today.
Well, it's been my honor and great to do it, and looking forward to everybody to come out and just enjoy all the wonderful, awesome music of the Blues and Barbecue has to offer. Trust me, it won't cost you nothing but a good time.
Absolutely, you are right. We're going to close it out with your song, so thanks so much for checking in with us today. We'll look forward to seeing you Thursday and Friday, and you're going to be here having a good time, and if you see somebody running around being crazy, you'll know it's Caesar. Right?
You got it.
Thanks for calling me, Caesar. You have a great weekend. We look forward to seeing you.
All right, we see y'all there. God bless you. We love you.
All right. Thank you so much. You are listening to WCRS. We are going to listen to a little bit of this song as we go towards the top of the hour. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood.
All aboard! All aboard! All aboard!
Great.
show. We're going to join the news in progress, give us a little opportunity to get our next caller lined up with us. We are listening. We are going to be talking to Adam Gusso. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I might be wrong. He is part of the Blues Doctors, and he has quite a history of being in the blues. He's taught blues. He's played the blues. He's an awesome harmonica player. Well, we'll tell you more about it when we come back. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood today.
Oh, that's right. Our next guest actually needs no introduction. He is a truly famous truly famous blues harmonica. He has been here to Greenwood before. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him here before. And I have right here with me, Adam, how do you say your last name?
You know, you're one of the few people who got it right first time in. It's Gusso, that's right.
Gusso, okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want to embarrass myself.
Man.
How are you doing today, Adam?
I'm doing great. We're here. Of course, Mississippi is probably no hotter right now than South Carolina, but it's pretty darn hot.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine. I can't wait to get out to South Carolina. It's always fun to get to Greenwood for this blues cruise.
That's right. Well, you know, I want to tell you, I'm sure you probably know Joe Poe down there at WABG.
I do not.
Well,
no, I can't say I do.
You need to meet him because he does a lot with the blues. He is in Greenwood, Mississippi, and his radio station is WABG, the awesome W Awesome AM, and you should check it out. He does a lot of blues, and I'm sure he would love to talk to y'all at some point.
The other Greenwood. Okay.
Yeah,
what? I'm making notes. I'm taking notes. So thanks. Thanks for that reference.
That's right. We did a train ride all across the United States and Europe on the radio. And he was one of the stations that participated. And we have a great time. And he's a really cool guy. You'd love to meet him. And he's all over right down there in Mississippi, always talking to blues artists and everything.
So. All right. Joe Poe.
Joe Poe.
I got that note.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Cool. Well, anyways, you, of course, have had such a career in the harmonica. You met up with, I think, the last time we talked, weren't you still working with Satan?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I couldn't remember. No, the truth is that Alan Gross, my fellow blues doctor, and I came, I think, 5 years ago. We actually followed Bill Hall and Mad Perry and his family band on the main stage. But I went back and looked because I know that I was there with Sterling McGee, Mr. Satan, as part of a trio. And it turns out it was in 2008, so it was 11 years ago, that Satan and Adam, on the comeback trail, which lasted for a fair bit, we were early on the comeback trail and we got the chance to play. And that was fantastic. So those videos are findable on YouTube pretty easily. Just Satan, Adam, Greenwood, and you'll find us. You'll find a couple of videos that I put up.
Well, you like videos. I mean, I think it's great. You've got a lot. If you go onto YouTube, you're going to find a lot about you. In fact, I'm kind of interested.
True.
I haven't looked at it, but I've got all these harmonicas that I've been given. So I guess I'm going to have to take some of your lessons and learn to play the harmonica.
You know, if there's any, I am overexposed, Anne, on YouTube. I have two different channels. I think they're the number one and two blues harmonica channels on YouTube because I started early. I started back in 2007 when YouTube was still strictly non-commercial, believe it or not. you literally could not. There were no big, movie companies and stuff like that. People didn't advertise. You couldn't do it. It was against the rules when I started. That changed right after I started. But in any case, I've got lots of instructional videos out there. And if you're interested in learning almost anything about blues harmonica technique, you can just put in gusso, harmonica, and whatever technique you want to learn, like bending, and it's there. So, but of course, there are a lot of performance videos too, and I've enjoyed over the years. It's almost like I can go back now and put a year in and my name, and I'll find a video when I was out there on the road. And so, as Sterling McGee and I, we're, Satan and Adam are no longer a performing unit.
Right.
He no longer can play guitar. He's 83. But it's nice to be able to go back and see some of those videos from that second phase. I would love a chance, if I might, to share with your audience the sort of big news, I guess, in my harmonica and music world, which is the Satan and Adam documentary. There's a documentary that was completed after 23 years and premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival in April of 2018. It spent a year on the festival circuit. It's won numerous awards, and now, just in the month of June, it went up on Netflix. It's called Satan and Adam, with an ampersand between the two names, Satan and Adam. And I've gotten emails just from all over the world. It's by far the most explosive publicity that I've ever experienced, and it's a strange thing. Netflix is much bigger, for example, than iTunes. I figured when it went on iTunes, that would be the big thing, But it's out there, and it's the story of a street act that began in Harlem in 1986. That's sort of my deep history as a performer, was that I was a Harlem street musician with Sterling McGee, although he was known back then strictly as Mr. Satan, starting in 1986. So I bring some of that vibe, I hope, to the stuff that the Blues Doctors do. For many years, of course, my entire career with Mr. Satan, I was the sideman, the sort of strong second man in a duo propelled by a one-man band. He was a guitar player and percussionist. And back in 2009, I started doing percussion myself. And that's what people will be seeing when they see the Blues Doctors in Greenwood, is a two-man band, I call us, that sounds like much more than just a guitar and harmonica duo because of the drum thing I'm doing.
And you know what's also interesting, Adam, is that you were educated at Princeton and Columbia University, so you've got a very diverse background. What did you major in college?
You know, I went, believe it or not, I went to college as an electrical engineer. I had begun playing the guitar and the harmonica just within the previous year, and I wanted to be around musicians and music. And I thought, and so little did I mean, if I wanted to be an audio engineer. That's, Princeton is not the place to do that.
Right.
But I also discovered that my facility in math, I was a really good math student. The moment I got to linear algebra, I flunked. The one and only time I flunked a course in my entire school career, and that was freshman year, spring term, and I said, that's not going to work for me. And I crashed the mainframe computer. I just said, I'm doomed. You know, it's not what I don't want to be. I don't, you know, punch cards. I put the wrong punch card in.
Yeah.
And it said iterate to infinity. And so I downed the mainframe computer. It was like campus went dark. And I just said, can't do that. So I became an English major. And the music at that point was very, well, I was in a band. I take it back. So I was playing guitar in a basically a jazz funk fusion band. I was the blues guitarist in a band like that. They wouldn't let me play harp. They thought that was primitive, you know, primitive American music. These were sophisticated, you know, these were like fusion jazz guys, right?
Yeah.
And I was a funk guitar player, and I played blues leads, and it somehow worked.
Well, you know, one of the things, how did you get from where you were there to playing with Satan? That's what I want to know.
And that's a great question. And so the film Satan and Adam actually tells a lot of that story, except for one thing. That film makes it sound like I'm a graduate student and I lose a girlfriend, and the next day I'm wandering through Harlem with the harmonica, lost and lonely, trying to, you know, and I connect with Mr. Satan. But the truth is, 2.5 years went by. I left graduate school. So I was an undergrad at Princeton, worked in publishing. Then I was in Columbia as an English MA student, got my MA, and then left. I went nuts. Is that okay to say?
Sure.
I kind of went crazy, and the music that I had in me said, you're going to go in a different direction. And I think anybody in your audience who's ever had a life-shaking crisis happen, and in my case, it just happened to be that the woman I lived with for 5 years left me for another guy in the English graduate program at Columbia. I mean, we all knew each other. So that kind of humiliation that a man might go through, it's an old story.
Yeah.
It just hit me particularly hard because she was the great love of my life. And so you connect. And I went and became a street musician in New York and then played over in Paris and had a whole lot and played in the jazz clubs in Harlem. And by the time I came across Mr. Satan in the fall of 86, I'd been out, left graduate school and been out doing this for 2.5 years, finding my way into it with the help of an older black harmonica player named Nat Riddles. He's not mentioned in the documentary, but he was very important to me. He's the late Nat Riddles. So that's how I was lucky enough to come into a teacher. I was lucky enough to pay my dues on the street. And then when I saw Mr. McGee, I said, well, he's the greatest that you're ever going to find. And so I asked if I could sit in, and the rest is history. We hooked up. It was a very rough period in New York City racial history. It was the period of Howard Beach and Bensonhurst. There was a lot of tension between whites and blacks, and black men were getting murdered in New York. Mayor Koch called it a racial lynching when the guy got killed in December of 86, and there were Sterling and I on the streets playing. Nobody in Harlem took it out on me. They basically saw me as an antidote, a kind of, here's a guy, here's salt and pepper, here's an interracial act showing people that there's another way that we can all get along.
So with a name like Satan and Adam, though, I mean, you know, that's gotta create. How did we? I mean, Adam, I understand, but how did he come by Satan?
Well, now, you know, I could talk to you for half an hour and not get to the bottom of it. The truth is, he was born in Mount Olive, Mississippi. He was born in a religious family. He grew up in a Baptist church. His parents were very religious, and he was one of those guys like H-Bomb Ferguson and others, one of those young blues players who you know, liked church music but loved blues and didn't want to, you know, he wanted to play what the parents called the devil's music. But later in his life, he lost a wife. As I had lost a girlfriend, he lost a beautiful wife to cancer, and that kind of threw him off the bus, in a sense. And when he came back into life, he was reborn. It was a kind of conversion experience in which he said, I'm going to take the name Satan. You can't argue with somebody who feels that they're compelled to do that.
Yeah.
And when I met him, it was a stable identity. Everybody that I knew on the streets called him Satan or Mr. Satan. And it was an entirely unremarkable thing. That's who he was. And his playing was astonishing. We were not known as Satan and Adam, by the way, until our first demo cassette came out in the summer of 1990. So for 3 years,
we were
Mr. Satan and the white boy who played with him, basically. That's what we were. I mean, that's what the white boy who played with Mr. Satan up by the phone company is the way people in Harlem would have described our act.
Wow. Well, you've also gotten the Keeping the Blues Alive Award from the Blues Foundation in Memphis, and you've written some books, too. I mean, you know, you're a busy guy.
I'm a busy guy. And I'm lucky enough that I was able, with the help of a graduate degree that I basically did while I was a touring act in the second half of that career. I was a graduate student. I'm lucky enough to get precisely the right job for a guy with my toolkit, which is to say I teach English and Southern Studies at the University of Mississippi. And so I teach courses on American Lit, but also African American Lit, blues literature. And I've written some books that all of them, I think, in some way are grounded in that street experience, including my latest book, which is called Beyond the Crossroads, The Devil and the Blues Tradition. Mr. Satan is only a small part of that explicitly. That it's much more about the whole tradition of songs that invoke the devil and hell, and of course about Robert Johnson and that Crossroads Monument in Clarksdale. But yeah, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that I'm able to express all those different sides.
Well, we are sure looking forward to you coming to Greenwood. I got to ask you one more question, and then my next guest is waiting. Alan Gross, he plays his own, I got to ask, cigar box guitars. He makes them out of cigar boxes.
Oh, my God, yeah, and old Mississippi license plates. In fact, if somebody there is thinking about it, he'll probably bring along one extra one to sell. But yes, he makes his own guitars. He plays a normal, I mean, he has 15 different Telecasters. He plays normal electric guitars, too. But then at a certain point, he takes, and he'll do this, he'll take that guitar off and put on his homemade guitar and play that Mississippi slide style. And people love it. People love it. So,
that's
yeah.
cool. That reminds me of Mac Arnold and his gas can guitars.
Yes, we love Mac Arnold. We bought his CD last time in town, so yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, listen, we got a song we want to play as we make the switch over here, and you wanted us to play, and we wanted to play. That's all right. How can you set it up for us, Adam?
Sure. Well, it's just the two of us, so whatever you hear is live in the studio. It's an Elvis song, obviously, and we're trying to remake it as a, in a, I mean, it's recognizable. By the way, it's not just an Elvis song. It's Arthur Big Boy Crudup. It's a Mississippi song through and through. That's all I'll say.
Well, that is too cool. Now, you're playing Saturday at Polo's from 7 to 10. Are you playing anywhere else? I'm just cruising through the list here. Do you know?
Yes, we're playing the main stage on Friday. I'm looking at it here. It says we're playing from 2:45 to 3:45. So we're doing something else sort of backstage later on Friday. But those are the two main gigs, are the Friday main stage, 2:45 to 3:45, and the Polo's gig on Saturday.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, listen, I hope I get to see you. We're going to be doing our blues crawl all over, and if I see you out and about Friday night, I'll be sure to snag you and talk to you. How about that?
Terrific. Great, Ann. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much. It's good to talk to you again, Adam, and do give Poe a call, and sometime maybe we'll have you back on the radio to talk more in depth about this harmonica classes here. I might could get a live on-the-air class. What do you think?
I'd love to do something like that. That would be fun. Yeah, call me anytime.
All right. Sounds good, Adam. Let's play Adam's song, That's All Right, right now on WCRS. Coming up in just a minute, Deb Callahan will be with us. Thanks so much. Take it away, Andy.
That's all right for you. That's all right now, Mama. Any way you do, but that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, Mama. Any way you do. Well, Mama, she done told me. Papa told me too. That girl and wish ain't no good for you, but that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, Mama. Anyway, you do. Well, one and one or two, two and two or four. If you don't want me, girl, I'll walk right out your door, but that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, Mama. Anyway, you can do. That's all right. That's all right now, Mama. Anyway, you can do. Come on, guys.
hoodoo.
I'm Ann Eller, and I love the advertising success of radio so much, I bought the station, WCRS. Radio is the most responsive medium ever when it comes to selling services and products. Want to run a sale? Have a great idea? Need to promote? Need to do it fast? Radio can get your message out there fast. Newspaper, TV, just can't react as fast as radio. No need for a production team, graphics, etc. With our speed, your message is out there fast. Affordable? Absolutely yes. Qualified buyers listening? Absolutely yes. Let me show you how you can turbocharge your business. After all, you're listening, and I'm Ann Eller. I bought WCRS, the voice of Greenwood, for 76 years. Call me today, 864-229-7984. Just do it.
Oh, there you go. That, of course, was Adam, the Blues Doctors. And now we have a really great, really, really great a woman right here on the air with us, Deb Callahan from Philadelphia. How you doing today, Deb?
I'm great. How are you, Ann?
I'm good. Listen, I was just, I'd been reading over some of the information I could find out about you. And it says here, the Blues Review referred to you as the next Bonnie Raitt and raved, Philly's Deb Callahan has the pipes, the songs, and the raw talent to graduate to the next level. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was a great review.
Yep. Yeah, every once in a while you get a really good one, right?
Yeah, that was good. I appreciate it, yeah.
Absolutely. So you're originally from Boston, I understand. Grew up in Boston.
Yep.
And what did you want to be as you were growing up?
I was always interested in music and art. I always did some sort of music, art, theater. And then also was interested in some kind of helping profession, which I didn't really know what that was when I was a kid, but I'm also a social worker, so I kind of ended up doing that. So I'm a musician and a social worker.
That's an interesting combination, Deb.
Yeah, because a lot of musicians need help, so I'm, you know, able to do both at the same time.
So you have counseling sessions before you get started playing music. You get everybody's problems taken care of, and then y'all can play some music, right?
Right. Including mine, too, right?
Well, so, I bet that's a great basis, though. I bet it's a great basis, social work, as far as for writing songs. And I understand you write a lot of your music?
I do, yeah. Yeah, no, it has been. It's been some good, inspiration of hearing other people's stories and thinking about how they connect with my own. And so definitely, I've had some really good inspirations by being a social worker. Lens on the world interesting, I think.
It does. That is true. And then you went ahead and had a child, and that gave you even more inspiration to write, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the world to be, to inspire us, I think.
Yeah. You worry about bringing a child up in today's world?
I mean, I think you can't really think about it that much like that. I mean, I guess yes and no, but I mean, you know, we just try to like live in the moment and live in our community and, you know, be a good parent and role model and that kind of stuff. So.
And how about you? How old is your child now?
He's eight.
He's eight. Does he have any musical talent, Deb?
He is a great, he is a really good singer, and he likes to play the drums, but it seems like right now he's more interested in baseball and soccer than anything, so we'll see. But he definitely, I think, has some talent, but he's not super focused in on them right now.
Well, that's good that he's out there doing those outside things. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Good. So you've been performing, I understand, for what, about 20 years? Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. I've been doing it for a long time.
And what is
what's the biggest thing you've taken away from being a musician, an artist, a songwriter? What's the biggest thing you take away from this experience? I mean, it has to be a lot of things that come together as you're doing all this, and things you probably never thought were true are now truisms in your mind.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know about the truisms, but I guess I'm thinking, I think there's something about connecting with people around this music that I take away from it, that I'm always in awe of, you know, around the country, all these incredible people that I've met that not only love the music and come to hear it, but also organize it, you know, and like all these blues societies and people that organize festivals, just like, you know, the Greenwood Festival and Gary Irwin there, you know, like, and all the other, he might have been my contact, but all the people behind it that kind of shape it and push for it and that kind of stuff. So I'm always kind of, I guess sharing music and the love of music is, and the passion about music is kind of the thing I take away from it the most, how, you know, people, what people do for it.
Right. And how would you describe your music? What is the genre exactly? How would you sum it up for those that have never heard your music?
I would say it's like rootsy, but it's I would say it's blues, but with some soul, some rock, some a little gospel. I mean, I kind of mix it up. It's not only straight ahead blues. You know, I like funk and a little New Orleans. So it's like a dash of a lot of things, you know, but blues, I would say, is the kind of glue. But
Willie Dixon, I've already used this once today, but Willie Dixon said that blues is the roots and the rest is the fruit. So if you mix it all up, you ought to get a really good fruit.
right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, let's see. Do you stay mainly in Philadelphia because of family, or do you travel a lot, or?
Well, so I was traveling quite a bit, you know, before I had my son, and we would travel around the country, although mostly from like the Midwest, you know, over to the Eastern Seaboard. I've traveled a lot up and down, you know, the East Coast, from Maine to Florida. But then in the last 8 years, I haven't been as much. I'll take maybe one or two trips a year, you know, so we haven't been down this way in a couple of years, but we're doing like a little mini tour. We're going to Virginia, South Carolina, Florida, Atlanta, and then going home. So it's really not a big tour, but we kind of try to fit in this kind of thing, you know, once a year if we can. So
that's great. That's great.
Yeah, and maybe I'll do it more, you know, as my son gets older. But right now, just kind of keeping it more regional than anything else.
Sure. Now, when you come down here to Greenwood, are you going anywhere else? Have you got a little tour going on when you do this?
Yeah, well, I guess not so much in South Carolina, but next we're going to Tallahassee, Florida. We're going to be in Greenwood that night playing at, I guess, the main stage, and then also Howard's,
right,
the pub there. And then we're heading to Tallahassee, Florida.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, am really excited for you to be coming here. You're going to be here, looks like Howard's on Main on Friday night from 9 to midnight. That's a premier area. There'll be a lot of partying, drinking, and good times going on there. There always is, and it'll be a huge crowd. And then to get warmed up,
fun.
I tell you what, they've really working you hard, girlfriend. Friday from 5:30 to 6:45, you're on the main stage warming up there. Right.
You got it. You got the schedule.
That'll be great. Well, Friday night, I tell you what we do. We do what we call a blues crawl, and we go all over Uptown Greenwood. We'll be doing it live on the air, playing music and talking to artists and talking to everybody up there. So I hope I get to run into you and maybe we can snap a picture together and have a few words on the radio.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we have, let's see, what do we have? I Keep Things Running. And we have the other, Sweet Feeling?
Yep.
Is that right? Which one would you like us to play?
No, I think that's a good one. I like that one. I like to send that one out to all my organized, hardworking lady friends out there.
Okay, I Keep Things Running, and we'll close it out with that. This is Deb Callahan, and thank you so much for calling us this afternoon. This has been a great afternoon on the radio, WCRS, with all the blues artists coming to town. Thanks so much, Deb.
Thank you very much, Ann. All right, see you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, Andy, let's play I Keep Things Running, Running, right here on WCRS. I'm going to let you play that. I'm going to be done. That's it for me, everybody. Bye-bye.
I keep things running. That's what I do. If you want something done, I'm the girl to go to. I'm in the know, I run the show, I carry the weight, never hesitate. I hook it up, I get it done, I plug it in, I make things run, I make things run. I'm a thorough-ass female, and you know it's true. I've been multitasking, for you know what's hit you. I snap my fingers, I wave my wand. I'm the cleaner-upper, I get it gone. I hook it up, I get it done. I plug it in, and I make things run. Things run.